بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Ta'ala has created some unique potentials in mankind. Amongst the most unique thing in mankind is the creation of love. The degree and the strength of love that has been built in mankind, perhaps no other creation enjoys that degree of love. When Allah Ta'ala created this entire system, the skies, the earth, the mountains, then Allah Ta'ala wanted a vicegerent. He wanted someone to manage the affairs of the entire world. So I've created this entire system, and then there must be someone that will manage all the affairs. Hence Allah Ta'ala had offered this management to the heavens and to the earth and to the mountains and to the greater creations. And all of them declined. Allah Ta'ala gave them some level of intelligence where they could reason and understand. So they asked Allah Ta'ala, if we do accept, then what? And if we do reject, then what? And number three, if in the process, if we fail, then what? So the reply that was given to them from Allah Ta'ala is, if you do accept, then you will be rewarded. If you refuse, you won't be responsible, because you didn't take on the management. And if you fail, then you'll be punished. So when they heard about the punishment, they shuddered at the idea. فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا. And they refused, blank refused. When it came to mankind, mankind also asked the same question. But when mankind heard that he's going to be rewarded, and amongst the reward is this, that Allah Ta'ala will bless him with his love. So mankind forgot everything else. He left all the punishment, everything one side, and he just latched onto the aspect of love. He latched onto that. And he thought to himself that when I will gain the love of Allah Ta'ala, then love means I will gain proximity. Then today there's an occasion to talk to Allah Ta'ala. Tomorrow to go and see him. The next day Allah Ta'ala will be showing me some love. Because love is two-sided. It's not just a one-sided thing. It's a two-sided affair. So one day I will be showing love, and the other day Allah Ta'ala will be showing love to me. And then in the process of love, Allah Ta'ala will be blessing me. He'll be giving me proximity. He'll be giving me his favors of Jannat. And when he reflected over this dimension, he said, well, I will take on to that. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. We may say ignorant, we may say he was an oppressor. But if someone has got a little bit of an understanding of love, he'll say, yeh toh bada bhola bhala tha. He was a very big simpleton, this person. He didn't consider, he didn't reflect over the aspects of punishment and all that. He just latched onto this, I'll get that love of Allah Ta'ala, that proximity of Allah Ta'ala I'll get, and he went with it. So he disregarded everything else. Ali radiallahu anhu was asked once, are you pleased that Allah Ta'ala has created you, or would you be happier that Allah Ta'ala has not created you? He says, there is no doubt that if I had not been created, then there wouldn't have been the possibility of answerability, accountability, etc. But the fact that I've been created am more appreciative of, because I will get to love Allah Ta'ala, I will get the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, I will get the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, the ability to speak to Him, and the ability of receiving His favors every day. Today is one favor, tomorrow is another favor, the next day is another favor, I will get this. When we look at this shaitan, you know, the shaitan story, there's so much of lesson, the Quran Sharif, from this shaitan story. The element that was missing out in him, in my understanding, was love. He wanted to come to Allah Ta'ala, but with total formality. Doing this, now I need this. Doing this, and I did this. I'm doing this, and I need this. So that's formality. He wasn't fired up with love. Had he been fired up with love, he said, "My Allah Pak said this, let me just do it. My Allah Pak said, let me just do it." So he wasn't fired up with love. Had he been fired up with love, he would have just done it. Just do and die. So the element that was missing out in him was the element of love. Ishq. Today, as I was lying down, I'm thinking now what to speak on. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just reading one article. And it was about love. This was about 6 lines. You know. So this is the topic that we need to not only read about, reflect about, and then instill into our hearts, love. So this is a 6 line article. So the missing element in shaitan was this. You see, people move mountains just because of love, just because of muhabbat. One English, that was an article that it read, that one Englishman, perhaps he was a historian or something, he wrote that the extent of love the Muslims have for their Nabi, no ummati had that type of love for their Nabi. The extent of love that the Muslims have for their Nabi, no ummati had that type of love for their Nabi. Their love was something beyond and beyond, right? In the zaman of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we had seen it. But after 1,000 years also, we still see that love is still burning. You don't see that there is a decrease in that love. You just hear the name of Nabi Sallam, and someone gives one story or the other, and the people are tearing. Don't you find that happening up till now? There's one incident, a second incident, and then before you hear the third one, the person is already tearing. So what is this? It's the fire of love. In India, there was an incident about 1.5 centuries ago of one Alamdin, right? Someone spoke against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in some way or the other. And this person, an uneducated person, he heard this. He's this person, and he's reviling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I must put him away. He put him away, and when there was a warrant of arrest, he went and offered himself. He even said, no, I am the criminal. Now there was a big problem going on, because there's like a Hindu and a Muslim thing going on in India. Said, no, I am the criminal, take me away. So they arrested him. And while he's in prison, the whole procedure is going on long, you see. So in the procedure, just to avoid any problem, the English sent one man to go and tell this Alamdin, you know what, just say that you didn't do it and we'll drop the case. So it will just avoid a clash, avoid a problem. So no, I did it. At the hearing, he said, no, I did it. And my guess is this, that he may have said that for 2 reasons, for multiple reasons. For one is this, that, you see, I'm leaving a precedent, I'm going now, I'm leaving a precedent, you must also do the same. Don't ever shirk in your duty towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm leaving a precedent, you must do it also. You do the same. So that was one. Number 2, that he's got the honor of being enlisted in the lovers of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So why must let it go? I've got that honor that I'm enlisted amongst those that love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so why must I let it go? Number three, it's a thing of honor, it's not a thing of disgrace. Now the history will say, this person did this. And every Muslim will be speaking in praise and glory about him. So it's a thing of respect, it's not a thing to be ashamed about. So I will do it, and you record me. Just before they could execute him, you know, the proceeding, they were just delaying the thing and delaying it and delaying it. So one day, the guard that was appointed over him, he's crying to that guard, said, why don't they finish this up, you know? But the guard says, wait, you're supposed to be looking forward to death. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, no, this is a secret. He said, no, you must share the secret. You see, I was so good with you. The guard says, I was so good with you. I've been so kind and compassionate with you. I did everything that you wanted. So you must share the secret with me. So he says, I see Nabi Sallam and the Sahaba Kiram waiting my arrival. And I'm being ashamed that they have come to receive me and I'm delaying this whole process. So this love, we talk of love, you see. And this love, it takes you to a different level. It shoots you up to a different level. There must be something in this love. Mashayikh say, we try to eliminate all this problem, you know, this takabbur and pride and jealousy, etc., right? With different methods. But the method that is about the most swift is the method of love. He says, like, it's a huge, huge farm, a couple of thousand hectares you've got, right? So you need to go and do some cultivating, the farming and cultivating. So one method is to go and weed out all the weeds, the bush rot, weed out. And then gradually start farming and cultivating. That's one way. But if it's such a massive farm, you start one side, by the time you go the next end, this thing starts up again here. Right. So it's going to be a very, very arduous procedure. Right. So the easier thing is, just light a fire, throw some fuel right through, throw paraffin or something, petrol, and then just light it up. Hey, but the whole thing will just get burnt out, whole thing. And in two twos, you start off your farming. So you say this love, if you just bring that love, import that love, but true love into your heart, it will wipe out all this thing here. All this jealousy, pride, everything will get wiped out. So the shaitan, his massive problem was he didn't have that love at that level. He wanted to come, but he wanted to come with procedures and formalities and all that. And Allah Pak showed him a shortcut. Just bow down here. Just bow down here. No. I'm not prepared for that. Procedure. See, I did this for so many years. So I need type of position. I've been so loyal to you. So that's the Quran I'm talking about. And the hadith says, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. I showed you from the Quran Sharif about love. Now, listen to the same thing from the hadith, from the perspective of hadith. So the hadith says, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. Right? Man will be grouped with those who he loves. The Sahaba Kiram says, before Nabi Sallam could sound this hadith, before he could announce this hadith, now we were in a ghabrat situation. Hamara kya hoga? Because we don't find that we are complete in any respect. In our obligations, in our duties, perhaps we are doing it, but the level of love, the level of concentration, the level of dedication, perhaps we may be lacking in that respect. So maybe we are accountable for all that. You know, looking at the favors of Allah Ta'ala and then obligations is not balancing up. So you will be accountable. But when Nabi Sallam had announced this hadith, that man will be grouped with the people that he loved, says that brought about the greatest consolement for us. Greatest consolement, greatest satisfaction. Because all of us were absolutely certain that we had been enjoying the love of Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We had that greatest yaqeen. We had no doubts about it. That in other things, there may be kami besh, you know. There may be something short. But as far as the love is concerned, we are sure that we are not short in that. There we were. We had it, 100% we had it. So that brought us the greatest amount of comfort, brought about the greatest amount of consolement. So this ingredient of love, this is the missing ingredient, that we need to bring into our system, the ingredient of love. It does some fantastic things. Fantastic. You look in present day history as well, if you look at it, and just add the ingredient of love to anything and see what it does to you. And just pull off the ingredient of love and see what it does. Now it seems like a lifeless thing, like you're a robot, like a zombie. There is no ingredient of love. And then when there is that ingredient of love, now you see, it's a different person altogether. He's just doing and doing, he's not getting tired. What is the thing that is making him just sacrificing and going on and on and on? Right. You hear in the Yahud also, those that had accepted Islam, Zayd ibn Sa'inah, multi-billionaire, not millionaire. First he went and tested out, is this the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala? Then when he verified that it was the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, then perhaps he gave all his wealth away to the person. All his wealth, the three-quarters of his wealth, he gave it away. Take all. So that wealth didn't mean anything also. When it came to that crunch, it came to the point that he verified that it was the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, then his love went escalated to such a point, take all his wealth. Spend it for the cause of Islam. I'll stay, however I'll stay, I'll stay. But not. When that love has come, then that love has taken me to a different end altogether. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, you hear about him. And he saw a small little interruption in the love. Small interruption through one little bird, right? Says, now this is not worthy me keeping it. Now give it away. A massive orchard he's got. Nabi Sam likes the water of his orchard, right? Massive orchard he's got. And right in the proximity of the haram he's got it. And then a small bird comes and interrupts the love. Says, no, not worth it. Give it away. Or to or, leave alone insan, humanity. Isn't this something embarrassing for us? That what will appear to us as dead, ustwana ya hannana, what will appear to us as dead, the date trunk upon which Rasulullah used to recline at the time of khutbah, that thing began to wail to such an extent when Nabi Sallallahu had just left it and ascended the mimbar after it was being constructed. He left the ustwana and he came here. So that thing began to wail and cry until the whole masjid began to echo with his crying. And now I missed out. Nabi Sallallahu has left me and gone on to the mimbar. Nabi Sallallahu had to leave the mimbar, come and console it like how you console a child. They say that thing began to sob. You know how a child sobs, it's sobbing like that. Until Nabi Sallallahu comforted it. So a thing that appears to be like lifeless to us, that thing also has that great amount of affinity. That affinity for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So insan ko kis qadar mohabbat hona chahe? Then mankind, what level of love do we need to have? For Allah Ta'ala, for his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, should we have just a logical love? No. Just a logical love, a calculated love. I'll do this, this will happen for me. I will do this and this will happen for me. No, by dismissing it out. You can't have a logical love. You can't have a formal love. No. That love has to be expressed in different ways. If that love is true, then it needs to grow. That fire needs to shoot up. You hear a fire out growing very casually, very calm. You hear about that. Or that thing goes wild. When it goes in, it goes wild. So that's what love does to you. Amongst the ulama, there is a difference of opinion. Okay. What's greater? One is patience, right? One is muhabbat-e-aqli and the other is muhabbat-e-tab'i. One is logical love, right? One is logical love. You're calculating, like I said, formal love. Let's call it formal love. For our sake and our understanding, let's call it formal love. One is formal love and one is just a natural love. One is natural love and one is formal love. Because natural love, it'll do everything and anything. And formal love now, it'll be calculated. So there's a whole discussion now that which type of love takes superiority, the natural love or the formal love? So some say it is the formal love, and some say it is natural love. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, he had ruled out that, in my understanding, whilst you are all right, young and all right, then it should be the formal love. And when you're coming towards the end, then let that natural love overtake you. Thami Sahib Rahmatullah, his father or grandfather, it was his grandfather perhaps here. His grandfather, he had taken some taluk with some Busugan Adin. And the taluk, the effect of the taluk was such, he got disinterested in the world. Total disinterest. So his mother-in-law came and complained to that Busruk, see what you have done to my son-in-law. My daughter still needs to go on in life, and this is what you did to him. Now he lost interest in the world completely. He needs to look after his wife, he needs to look after the children, all that. He needs to see that the life continues. He is totally disinterested. So anyway, he made some dua and he reversed the whole thing. When he reversed the whole thing, so his grandfather also realized he reversed it. I had that firing love and he reversed it. He got so angry with the sheikh. Anyway, now the grandfather is nearing his end. When he's nearing his end, the sheikh didn't say anything because he understood that it's not bi'adbi here. It is some missing ingredient of love that he's missing out now. That's making him say what he's saying. Anyway, now he's nearing his end. So the sheikh comes back again. And he makes the dua again to reverse the whole thing back. Now again, he is so bright and he's got all the words of praise for the sheikh again. Mountain of praise and applaud and praise and just about at the time of his end. And now he's ending up, and in such a bright and a beautiful manner he's ending up. As he's ending up, he's put the sheet over his face, you know. Like someone is dying, then you put the sheet over the face and all that. So the woman, now they saw that the man is coming to his end, they began to cry. How a woman will cry? He began to cry a bit. So he removed the sheet off his face. And said, Khabiso, kisi ko marne bhi nahi dete. You stupid things, you don't let even anybody to die also nicely. He's shouting to this woman. He's dying also, but he's playing a game also. So yeah, marna in Ahlullah ke liye khel hai. Death also is like a game for them. Say, Khabisa, tum kisi ko marne bhi nahi dete. Stupid things, you're not even allowing anybody to die nicely. Now they got frightened now. Man is dying, they got frightened for him. He took the sheet, put it on again, and khuda ke pyare ho gaye. He just put the sheet and it's gone. So for them it's a plaything. That was one of his grandfather. His other grandfather, Mawlana, just by in passing I'm saying, his other grandfather, Mawlana, he was made shaheed. So his wife perhaps was very attached to him. So a shaheed, we believe that the shaheed doesn't die. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ They're still alive, but you can't perceive they're alive. But they're alive like that. Allah Pak declares that they're alive. So for a great period of time, he would come in person to his wife, bring fruits and sweetmeats and the works he would bring, and then he would go at talk to her and all that, and he would move away. As he told us, see, this blessing would remain until you don't disclose the secret. If you disclose the secret, then I'll go away. I'll never come back again. Now she's receiving all these things here, things that are unseasonal, and things that she can't afford. She's getting everything on. Now, she got afraid, okay, when people will see all these things here, then they'll want to know, where is this thing coming from? It's a widow, and where is she getting it from? Now, she got into a gabrat, into a panic, and she went and disclosed this. When she disclosed it, then everything went away. Then all that was coming, all just closed up. See? So, ye marna bhi in Ahlullah ke liye khel hai. They are looking forward to it. It's not something that they are panicking, not something that they are gabrat about. So today what we are talking about is this fire of love. And this fire of love has to be brought into a system. But the question will be that how do we bring about this fire of love into our system? Right? We hear about the incidence of love, right? But then how do we bring about this love into the system? So our Busruganadin, they say about 6 points where we will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You practice upon the 6 points and you will bring in the love of Allah ta'ala into your heart, into your system. Number one is you think about the favors of Allah ta'ala. Right? Now just a simple thing for us to understand, right? Simple thing for us to understand. See, we got these different faculties, right? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, right? Taste, smell, sight, hearing, etc., right? So these are just the call it the means, right? But making that possible, making that happen, not possible, making that happen, that is subject to the will of Allah Ta'ala, that everything is there, right? But of its own, can it make you hear? Can't. Of its own, if it could make you hear, right, then fix something like an ear to a person and see if you can hear. A deaf person can't. So that means, say, someone else, some other power that's behind the scene, that we can't see, that is making that listening possible. Right? Otherwise, like I say, if that organ was the thing that was making that listening possible, then create that organ, or make the shape of that organ, and see if it can do the hearing to a deaf person. It can't do it. A person that is born deaf, create the organ, push it there, see if it will make the listening. Same with the sight, right? So this is the organ, right? It's organ. Right? But making that sight possible, making it happen, is that your work? It's Allah Pak's work. Now then anybody will tell you that's Allah Pak's work. The same with the taste. You know, I was sharing one aspect with my friends. I said, see, there's so many favors of Allah Ta'ala that we enjoy and we disregard. We enjoy it, but we disregard it. Just look at it. Just the ability to taste something and smell something. You know, at least a good half a dozen persons that come to me and told me we lost our sense of smell, lost our sense of taste. Now imagine just for one day, there's no taste in the mouth, there's no smell in the nose, you don't get any fragrance. How do you feel? You feel like dead. Don't you feel like that? Now he's giving it to you free of charge. Did Allah Pak charge you for that? And you can live without taste and smell, you can live. But an additional favor upon a favor, that he gave you that ni'mat of food, it's so well presented, right? And then the ability to taste it, the ability to smell the thing. Sometimes, I just open that door here, and I know what they're going to serve that side. So I just open that door. I open that door one day, I'm saying, the methini bhaji over here. Straight, when there is methi bhaji. So you already get that. Now, I don't know what they're inventing in the homes, is all unnatural. Is extractor fans and all that. That's needed for the big shops and all that. But in the home, you need that smell. That smell will enhance your eating. Right? Many times I'm at home, I'm on the street, still on the road, and I'm crossing home, you know. From there, I get the smell that this is what they're cooking. Now, that enhances your appetite. It's a favor of Allah, it's a blessing of Allah, right? And something enhancing your appetite. Now, why must you kill it with an extractor fan, like a fancy thing, and get all that thing out of the system? So this different favors that we enjoy at the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can you attach a price? You reflect over the favors of Allah ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala, see, simple favors like you get sleep, right? You get sleep. Right? Then after that period of sleep, you could take the whole world on. But if you didn't get that sleep, then you feel so frustrated, so uneasy, so much of ghabrat, I can't sleep. So Allah Ta'ala enables you to sleep as well. He gives you the sleep. Sometimes you're sitting here, I'm sitting after Isha, you know, seeing people are drowsing off. Here, there was one German, you know, German Papa priest. So he saw his congregation, and the congregation is very eagerly listening to him, very, very eagerly listening to him. So he got ghabrat by that. In the past, previous zamana, when I'm talking, then people are half sleepy, half awake and all that. And now everybody is very, very eager and they're listening. What happened? He said, oh, there's something wrong. They're sleepless, they can't get sleep. They can't get sleep, that's the problem. That's why they're very eagerly listening. Before, they were sleeping naturally. Now they can't get the sleep. So there's a problem amongst the community. So, here, after Isha, when I'm speaking, like the sleep is saying, as I come, and you say, just hold it, Dabbai, just hold it. After half an hour you go, after dua you go, you come again. So the sleep wants to come, and you put in the brake. So isn't that the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? Isn't it, you know, you so easily you get your sleep. I see some brothers, they so easy with sleep, they don't know, the head went down first, or the sleep came first. So it's immediate, just natural, just put the head down, and they're gone. They're so calculated, so well they get the sleep. But whatever it is, isn't that a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? You know, you take on the whole world after that. After you got that period of sleep, mashallah, you feel so nice after that. But who made that possible? I ask you, who made that possible? Think to yourself, who made it possible? Any scientist, any doctor, anybody made it possible? If they gave you a tablet, it's not a steaming tablet. It's just a drowsiness they push you over, right? Drowsiness or unconsciousness, and they brought you back, right? So you don't feel that relaxation. You don't feel that comfort. Now all this is free of charge. Allah didn't charge you for anything. أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَتَّقُونَ Then you're feeding someone else besides Allah Ta'ala. You're taking on someone else besides Allah Ta'ala. You're taking some other love besides Allah Ta'ala. He's given you so much. Think to yourself, He's given you what nobody could offer. Not a woman could offer, not a physician could offer, not a wealth could offer, nothing could offer. He's given you such things. So think, just reflect over the favors of Allah Ta'ala, what He's given you. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ أَبَدًا Think of this verse of the Quran Sharif. You know, all these people have got Tawiz problems and Jadu problems and all that. Then keep these two ayats in your mind all the time. Inshallah, it will be a great relief. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ Is Allah Pak not sufficient? Imagine what a complaint Allah Pak is giving us. He's coming down to our level and speaking to us. Am I not sufficient for you? I'm so great. Can I not suffice your problems? Can you take in someone else? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِ You need to take other people. I am your Allah Ta'ala. Am I not sufficient? Imagine, you know, if your wife went for some help to someone else, right? How upset don't you feel? I am around, what was the need for you to go to someone else? It's against my integrity. What will people think now that I am not supportive of you? How don't you feel? So how will Allah Pak take it? Oh, I am your Allah Ta'ala. I did everything for you. And then you're running here, running to pillar, post, this person, that person, everywhere else. Am I not sufficient? So this verse is a message of love. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا Like I say, a husband or the father is saying to the child, but I was there, I was your father, but you know, you had to go to someone else. How embarrassing for me. Or the husband is saying, but you left me and you went to someone else. How embarrassing is it for me? So it's a message of love. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ The second verse of the Quran Sharif that will help in all this, you know, I don't say that this thing doesn't exist. This whole article was about jadu and all that, right? I don't say it doesn't exist. But how to equip ourselves? You know, you need to equip yourself or strengthen yourself. How they will give you an antibiotic or something to equip yourself, right? So mentally, how to equip yourself in the face of these things? The second verse of the Quran Sharif, was it ayat? مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاسِيَتِهَا There's not a single creature, but Allah Ta'ala has got it by the forelock. There isn't a creature, whether it's a jinnah, whether it's a jadu, whatever it is, but Allah Ta'ala has got it at its full lock. You don't see, you got it at the full lock. You can manipulate the thing, you can maneuver it how you want. So Allah has got it at the full lock. So why must you fear these things, that thing and the other thing? So what we are missing out is the fear and the love of Allah Ta'ala. When we have got that recognition of Allah Ta'ala that He has got hold at the full lock, He is in total control and He's complaining to us, am I not around for you? What didn't I do for you? Then why you have to go elsewhere? Are you brought that into your mind? The more you bring that into mind, all these things will just evaporate. They will just disappear. But no, we go and he's got this jinnat here, that jadu, this thing here, that person put some asar, bad nazar, what 101 things are all piling up in your mind. As a result, you remove Allah Ta'ala from the equation and that was not a full reality, it became like a reality. So strengthen this, enhance this thought. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا and مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. He has got it at the forelock. So I showed you the simple favors of Allah Ta'ala. Taste, right? Smell. That sleep, when you need that sleep. And Allah Ta'ala is giving you sleep. Right? Amongst people, He's giving you some type of respect. Now can you buy that? Amongst people, you walk around, some form of respect. They love you, they greet you, or they would say, make dua for me, you know. So some form of respect, now who gave all that? These are all free favors, and they are priceless favors. They are such great favors, like I say, sleep, taste, smell. They are priceless, you can't attach a price to these things here. And we can see it directly from Allah Ta'ala. No, I was thinking of one, in the scientific age, how to identify Allah Ta'ala according to science. There must be something to identify Allah Ta'ala, even through science, right? Or as you say, this whole earth, right, is kept in position by what? They will tell you gravitation, right? Won't they say that? Isaac Newton's concept of gravitation, right? Gravitation. So you'll say gravitation, right? So that gravitation keeps it in place. It doesn't go this side, it doesn't go that side. Everything is in a balanced state, right? Right? You agree with that, right? But then I ask you, what keeps the gravitation in place? The earth is kept by gravitation, right? The gravitation is keeping the earth. Right? However it's supposed to be kept. Right? Otherwise it would mean now, you know, there's no gravitation, there's no gravity, for example. Right? Or the oceans, it would mean all the water must just disappear, right? Because the water can't stand like that, it will just disappear. Right? The earth, the mountains, everything will just fly around, there's no gravity. Right? That's what it would mean. But that gravity is keeping the whole thing, right? Now I ask you, who's keeping that gravity in place? Is there anything, any explanation that science can give that this is the thing that is maintaining and sustaining that gravity? Any explanation they can give, can't give. So you must say, logically, scientifically, you must say, no, there is something else beyond this. This is what our eyes can see, it's gravity. And beyond that, there is another power. So you have to say, no, it's Allah Ta'ala. Now you come, now you relate, you see. See, the greatest faculty Allah Pak has blessed man with is brains, right? But if you use that brains without any type of prejudice, then you come right. But if there's prejudice and bias, then you can't come right. Two things are failing in the brain. One is prejudice, right? And second thing is after you realized, and then you don't follow it up. You realize it, you understood it, you saw it, and then you don't follow it up. That's another failure, right? Now you've come to that one level, right? That Allah Ta'ala is taking care of that gravity, right? So that gravity is taking care of the earth, and all the systems are working, right? Now, just elucidate this whole concept again. Just make it, just expound it further. The further explanation is now, if Allah Ta'ala is taking care of this whole universe, He is taking care of, right? The whole system, with gravity, is taking care of the whole system, the whole earth, right? billions and billions of people living in creations and insects and animals, birds and whatever have, what have you, right? Everything Allah Ta'ala is taking care of. Right? Then, won't He take care of this single individual? If He is taking care of everything, then it is He that will take care of you as well. If everything He is in control of, then isn't He in control of you? Isn't He taking care of you as well? Now, just relate. You expound on that same theory. You expound on the same understanding. You understand, oh, Allah is taking care of me as well. So this, the first thing that you think about is the favors of, the Allah, of Allah Ta'ala. Right? To bring and to enhance the love. If someone saved your life, how dear is that person to you? You could have died, and he saved your life. Right? There could be an impending sentence upon you, but he saved you. So for the rest of your life, you will sing that song. This person, I'm really grateful to him. I'm really, really thankful to him. I love this person. Don't you say that? So I ask you, which favor didn't Allah do for you? Is there anything that you can think of that Allah didn't do for you? And I showed you three favors, right? The fourth favor that we experience all the time, but we don't allow our minds to register that. It's intelligence, right? You worked out something, you reasoned something, etc. You brought it right to the conclusion, you brought it right to the end. But who gave you that level of understanding and reasoning? Who instilled those ideas into your head? You know, I was asking one person that was very advanced in science, you know. So I told him, you know, my own suggestion is that most of the major inventions are just coincidences. He said 100%. Light and all these things here, this is coincidence. I said, this is what you will see, it's coincidence. Because you know, he was investigating something else, he was doing some other research, and this thing just came about, right? He was doing something else and this thing came about. Now I tell him, so it's not a coincidence. Allah want to show you that you're stupid. That your brains could have brought you here. Your brains couldn't have brought you here, but you needed this certain thing at a certain time. I made it happen. But because you don't believe in Allah, therefore you say coincidence. So Allah wanted to show you your limitation, that you couldn't have done it. I did it. And therefore He didn't allow you to do it, because you would have taken the credit. Said, no, you didn't do it, I made it happen. And you had to say it's coincidence because you had to refer to something or the other. But it was I have done it. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. So look at this, just this four or five things that I'm talking to you about, and just understand, try and relate, whether it's scientifically, whether it's logically. Ask yourself, who is doing it? Who is behind the whole thing? So this is the first thing that you do in order to bring about the love of Allah Ta'ala. The second thing that you would do to bring the love of Allah Ta'ala is to take His name. Right? Then, and to take His name with that niyat of love. I need your love. For your love, I'm making zikr for your love. Reciting Quran Sharif for your love. Namaz for your love. With that intention. It's an intentional thing. Now, I'm making a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tasbihat or some wazifa. Shop is not going well. I've got some arrears to settle. So this wazifa, I will read so many times and all that will get settled. Now that is a bargaining process with Allah Pak. You can't afford to have a bargaining process with Allah Pak. When it's a love relationship, husband and wife, she will say, you know, I'll do this for you, you must do this for me. You don't appreciate that type of relationship. You want a love relationship. You don't want a bargaining process. So Allah Ta'ala, are you bargaining with Allah Ta'ala? What? No, not a bargaining. It's for His love. Right? Although in the bargain, Allah will give you so much things. He'll give you, that's all the perks. But you don't do it for that. Otherwise, there's the element of love. You've lost the element of love. So that zikr for the love of Allah Ta'ala. But then that must be a calculated zikr. A zikr that you're doing it committed, you're doing it concentrated, you're doing it just you and Allah Ta'ala. One is casual zikr, you know, you're walking around making zikr. But one is calculated, committed, you are in one position, one time, one posture, you're doing it. Like how an accountant is doing his books, right? So he can't be running around everywhere, walking, driving around and doing his books, he can't do it. He'll have to be concentrated, he'll have to be sitting at one spot, give his best shot, and he'll have to do the books. Then you'll employ such an accountant. But if he's just taking a chance, just randomly, just looking at books like that, are you going to take his services? You're not going to take his services. Right. As an accountant considers this to be something very serious, all the more the relationship between you and Allah Ta'ala is even much more serious. That accountability there is even more serious. So that requires that you dedicate some time to him. In the day, some time in the night. So, you know, Allah, this is your time and I won't allow any interruption in this. وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. The Quran Sharif instructs, and remember Allah Ta'ala. And how you remember him is you cut away from everything else and just be dedicated to Allah Ta'ala for that period. Right? You cut away from everything else and you'll be dedicated to him. See? When you've got an intimate relationship with your wife, you can't be, you know, with the family now. See, it's the first night, no? Now you've got a cell phone and you've got the wife around. You can't do that. Can you do that? Cell phone also playing around. And you're talking to her, can you do that? She said, why you got married to me? You were mad to get married to me. Now you got married, now you with a cell phone. So she will feel not appreciated. So she wants that attention. You also want that attention. If you are with her, and she's playing around with the phone all the time. Say, bhai, make up your mind, you want me or the phone? Won't you say that? So Allah Pak also needs that time. In the morning, in the evening. Otherwise, you're not fair to Allah Ta'ala. Like your wife needs the time, you give her the time. You say quality time. Don't we say that? So doesn't Allah deserve that quality time as well? You're giving your wife that quality time. It's a client that's bringing in money. Don't you give him quality time? Or for his work, don't you give him quality time? So the one that is giving you everything, you accept that he's giving everything, doesn't he deserve that quality time? So in the morning and the evening. And alhamdulillah, I found, when you give Allah Ta'ala that quality time, Allah Ta'ala give you that, when you give Allah Ta'ala that quality time, then Allah Ta'ala inspires you with ideas. You're doing any work, whether you're an accountant or architect or doctor, whatever. But in whatever you're doing, you need idea. You need an idea what to do in this situation. Right? Because you have to use your mind at that time. Right? Now, who inspires that idea? Allah Pak inspires that idea. And, you know, this architect that was doing this, Ghulam Bhai. So he was telling me that I was just sitting in that kitab reading. I was doing a kitab reading. And one way that inspiration just came. Do this, do this. In about 10 minutes time, the whole thing was planned out. So who gave that inspiration? Who gave that inspiration? From Allah Pak. So if you give that quality time to Allah Ta'ala, then He'll inspire you, alright? In this situation, this is what you must do. Here what you must do. How you plan the whole thing out. Because you gave him your brain, now He is making your brain a brain. What? When you gave Him your mind, He is making your mind a real mind. But you didn't give Him your mind, then your mind is floating around and running around everywhere else. So for you to get some systems, to get some direction, etc., become very difficult. That's a perk that Allah Pak is giving you, that you gave him your mind and see he's shaping your mind. So you remember him and you remember him dedicated, not half-minded and mind is everything else. And that throughout the day didn't make zikr, etc., that's a different thing. But that quality time you need to give to Allah Ta'ala in the mornings and the evenings. You know, I'm going to say zikr is morning and evening, the second thing. Right. The third thing is for لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدٍ. There is a source for everything. We believe that. Don't we believe that? For everything there is a source. Right. There is a procedure, there is a place for everything. So you want love, then you go to the people of love. أَهْلَ مَحَبَّتْ كِبَاسْ. You want love, then the people of love. So for everything, Allah Pak has designed this world, that there is a source for everything. Right? You want education, you send your son to the school, don't you? There's a source for it. You want higher level, secondary school. Even higher level, tertiary level, university you send, right? So, for everything, Allah Ta'ala has placed a source. Right? Everything is placed. This is how He designed the world. Right? When He designed the world like this, that He's placed a source for everything, then for love also He'll place a source. And that is the Ahlullah. Right? You keep in touch with them, visit them. See? Now, over a period of time, you see that their love begins to rub onto your heart. You begin to take a liking for them, they take a liking for you. And something moves on. They begin to take a liking for you, you take a liking for them. Because it's not a one-way thing. When you make zikr also, the difference between the zikr that the Ahlullah give you, right? They give you the zikr to make, right? In the name of Allah Ta'ala. And then, some of the spiritual exercises where you see this yogi spiritual exercises, you know, what they say, peace of the mind and all that, right? So there's a difference. That also brings a little bit of calmness, right? That brings a little bit of calmness. They ask you to do some spiritual exercises and bring you some calmness. But there's a difference between the zikr and this type of yogi exercises. The difference is that will give you a little bit of calmness, but it will not have any attraction. And this gives you a calmness with an attraction. Because the one that you are talking about, the one that you are repeating his name, he's listening. Right? When he's listening, he likes your calling him. When he likes your calling him, so he's attracting you. That is his cash reward. And that thing what they're talking about, it's a meaningless thing. It's a meaningless thing. So it'll just mentally just make you calm, that's all. Like a tablet you're taking, right? So mentally it'll just calm you and soothe you. But it's got no attraction. And he has got an attraction. Because it's Allah Ta'ala that you're talking about, and Allah Ta'ala is attracting you. So the more you take his name, and the more enjoyable you're feeling, the more bright you're feeling, the more motivated you're feeling, the more enthusiastic you're feeling. So that's the third thing that people do. Right? If we can't, for some reason, sometimes, you know, this meeting up with these people is so important, especially in this age. In the words of some of our Buzugan Adin, it's like Faraz nowadays. And the reason why it's like Faraz is there's so many anti-forces that are going around. So many anti-forces. Look at a normal person, how many anti-forces that he's going through. He's going through the media. He's going through the internet. He's going through magazines. He's going through billboards. He's going to friends. He's going to a school, university, or whatever else, right? Everything is circular, designed and shaped. Everything. Everything. Only circular. Right? Everything is just godlessness. Circular, what do you mean? You mean godlessness. Everything is shaped and designed that way. Now, when the current on that side is so swift, it's like a tsunami. Now, where's your refuge? Where's your safety haven? Have you got a safety haven? So you'll get washed away. Right? So you need to be visiting them very regularly, very, very quick, very, very, you know, in regular intervals. Even if it is an hour, half an hour, 10 minutes, but you saw the person, went away. You saw the person, went away. Seen him and went away. Now that will build a little affinity, muhabbat. Right? And if for some reason you can't visit them at all now, you know, you're living at such a distance, and you don't find any Ahlullah in the place that you are living now, then what do you do? Then the substitute for that is their kitabs, right? The kitabs that your mashayikh will recommend. That these Buzurgan Adin's kitab, like normally we recommend, Best Is Ever, and the Fazail kitabs, right? These are two kitabs that we normally recommend, right? And they are kitabs that are prepared by the greatest of awliya of their time. Up till now, all our ulama and Buzurgan Adin all refer to the same kitabs. Right. So that's the substitute, that's the replacement. Like you can't talk to the friend directly, then the substitute is a telephone or a letter, isn't it? So the letter, it is the letter that the person is communicating you with, to you with. Right? So I say all these things are godless. I look at the newspapers, magazines, etc. The journalists and the editors that are appearing there, are they all godly people? Many of them are Satanists, many of them are atheists, many of them are godless people. Just a fraction of them may be belonging to some religion. But all are corrupt in their mind. Nearly all of them are corrupt. So when you are reading the articles, then some of the color is rubbing onto you. You can't say that you have an attachment or you like the person's article and none of his feelings and emotions are rubbing against you. Some things and some sentiment is rubbing against you. You begin to take to them. You begin to like them. You read the articles. It's like a mulaqat, it's a meeting. And then meeting begins to have its own effect. So they are shaping your mind. Who's shaping your mind? Those editors, those journalists, all those actors that are coming on the TV, whatever. Those people that are presenting the news, they are not. They have an impression on your mind. They have an impression on your mind. You don't know, but very subtly it impresses on your mind. One person was saying, some 30, 40 years ago, one Arab went for Umrah or Hajj or something, and it happened that he killed his wife. In Hajj or in Umrah, he killed his wife. So there was a whole hearing now, what happened? Why did you kill your wife? So he called up his small son, about 9 years of age, at the court. The son says, you see, that whilst the tawaf was on, so the son and the wife, the son and his mother, they were seated and they were watching, you see. In that whole tawaf, as a particular person was going around, the wife looked very eagerly towards him. Very, very interested, very eagerly towards him. So the son came and reported this to the father. In the tawaf, my mother was looking very eagerly towards him. So he just asked the son, but why, what happened? He said, no, this person here appears on television. Very, very regularly he appears. And whenever he appears, the mother can't resist her feelings and she goes and kisses him on the screen. So this person couldn't take it on, even when he shot his wife, he couldn't take it on. So what you're seeing, it has its mark. You think it doesn't have its mark, it doesn't have its effect, it must have its effect. Whatever you are a man, you got emotions, you got feelings, and these things must rub onto you. You can't say that you're seeing it and it doesn't have its effect. It must have its effect. So like this, evil things have the effect, you need something to go and erase all those effects. So the thing that will erase it is the company of this Ahlullah. So now they will reshape you, and your mind will be shaped towards your real ends, that is Akhirat, Jannat, Allah Ta'ala, etc., etc. Right? See the importance. That if you can't, then at least these books. And like I say, nowadays, it's like, to me, it seems like it's compulsory. But I'm seeing what's going on. Before it was only men that were getting affected, now women are getting affected. Now you're getting, even women getting affected because of it's so much that media and whatever else, it's so much, so abundant that they're getting affected. Where you never hear in our history that Muslim girls were jogging in the streets and all that. Now you see them jogging around everywhere, Springbok Beach, everywhere they're running around. Before you only see monkeys running around, now you see them also running around. It's very, really very embarrassing, very, very embarrassing, you know, this person's sister is there, that person's wife is running around. It's so, so embarrassing, you don't know what to say, who to say, is this person's wife, that person's wife, no, health, fitness, we keep our figures and all that, so we have to run around everywhere. So every way it's happening. Someone is doing that, someone is going to the gym. There was one divorce case, So, in the divorce case, the girl was complaining, that this person is not so good, So at the whole case I'm listening now, okay, but the boy says that she goes to the gym, and the instructor is a male. She's got a male instructor to instruct her. That was fine. That was fine. That was going very well, but otherwise that person not good. So this is all right, that instructor is watching her body, whatever body and shape, that is all right. So the simple aspects of shame, haya, that was an integral part of your faith. So the hadith says that this faith, iman and shame, they go together. If that shame goes, then that iman also leaves you. There is no, you got no defense after that. You can't say that shame went away and iman is still there. No, when the shame leaves, that modesty leaves, then the iman also goes away. That's the only protective cover for that. You hear about this old woman, not very old, even just say 50, 60 years ago. But they all lived at home. And up till this day, we still record and preserve their good words, their good ways, their good behavior. Right? Though they lost their shapes and all that. They bore so many children, 10, 11 children. But we still respect them for their ways. They lost their shape. Really, they lost their shape. But the shape of their hearts were right. The shape of the body may be out. But the shape of the heart was right. And the more important thing is the shape of the heart. Like you say, you know, is the shape of the house more important, the outer shell of the house more important, or the inner of the house more important? What will you say? Any person that is normal in his brain, you know, the inner comfort is more important than outside. Outside is not painted also very well, it's alright. But inside must be comfortable, cozy, you have everything. So what's more important, the inner of the woman or the outer shell of the woman? Now you just look at the shell. Like it's, you know, it's like an egg now. Look at the shell. Hey, the shell is very beautiful by it. But that is rotten inside then, the whole room will start smelling. But if anything is messed up outside a little bit, but inside is good, you still pay the price. No, my, hey, you better wash it next time and give it to me. But you still buy the thing. Because that thing inside is the thing that is what you want. So now you get so interested in the outside that you forgot the inner thing. The actual thing of the room was that inside. She got the quality of woman, of motherhood, of respecting, of mixing around with families, extended families, how she must maintain her respect, her haya, her modesty. Has she got all these aspects? Now that is not being watched. The only one thing is watching us. Can she be a money-making machine? And she's looking well. Two things. What? Is she a money-making machine? And is she looking well? So these are the two things that we're looking in a woman. Whereas you're supposed to be looking at her in a different perspective altogether. So anyway, I explain about this third thing, right? That you meet the Ahlullah, or the substitute for that is to read their books. They read the kitabs regularly. Like I say now, nowadays, the fitna is so great that you need a very strong antidote. So you can't visit them then regularly. Like it must be like a religious thing every day, morning, evening. Even if it's 15 minutes, you're reading the kitabs, reading it. If it's with the whole family, it's all the better, right? So at least, if there's any poison that's coming on the way, it's being washed out. It's coming again, it's being washed out again. You're not allowing it to accumulate. The fourth thing that they speak about is to ask for the love of Allah Ta'ala. See, the hadith says, اللهم ارزقني حبك وحب من ينفعني حبه عندك حب عملي يقربني حبك. Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah used to explain this hadith and he used to say that Allah Ta'ala is instructing us to ask for love. And he's asking us to make dua that hame muhabbat ki rozi se nawaz. As though that muhabbat is a sustenance that we require. Like how you need sustenance for your subsistence. For your subsistence, you need sustenance, don't you need it? Otherwise you can't exist. Without sustenance can you exist? 3 days, no food. Can you exist? You can't exist. So exactly the same, without the love of Allah Ta'ala, you can't exist. So this is like your rosy, it's your sustenance, without which you will fail to sustain yourself. So to ask and to beg Allah Ta'ala for his love, for his muhabbat, for the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the muhabbat of the people that will lead you to Allah Ta'ala, مَيَنْفَعُونِ حُبُّ عِنْدَكَ, that will lead you to Allah Ta'ala. So this like becomes like a faraz then, because this is the rosy that will keep you spiritually alive. You don't have that, you're spiritually dead. That's the fourth thing, right? And the fifth thing that they speak about is when you're doing anything, do it with that niyat. With that niyat. For the love of Allah that I'm doing it. Right? I'm doing it, but with that niyat. For His love I'm doing it. To acquire His love, to increase His love, for His love I'm doing it. Right? That's the fifth thing. And the sixth thing that they say, after everything is said and done, then you assign your affair to Allah Ta'ala. Don't you wait for any type of a spiritual feeling in your heart. Where many people go wrong is they're waiting for some feeling, you know. Hubbly bubbly feelings, you know. High, low feelings and all that. Now, don't worry about the feelings. When that feeling comes or that feeling doesn't come, you just carry on your way. You assign the affair to Allah Ta'ala. And what is better for you is known better, best by Allah Ta'ala than yourself, right? You know. Like the sea, it's got tides, right? High tide and low tide. And It is for the betterment of the sea that they have, it have its tides. The moon, you have its waxing and waning. If you're only waxing, then too is not good. If it's only waning, then too is not good. So the same, if there's only tides, high tides, there's no low tide, then it's also going to be bad, right? So you're going to be always, especially very, very high, feelings are very, very high, then you'll explode. Sometimes you're high, sometimes you're low. Sometimes you're high, sometimes you're low, right? Right. Until afterwards, after a certain time, they call this in the terminology, talween. After that period of talween, then Allah brings you to moderation, that's called i'tidal. Now these are all their own istilahat, you understand? So you have this type of fluctuations at the beginning, high, low, high, low, high, low. You get that. Now you come here, and you feel a bit high. Then you go home, then you go low again. So this seesaw you must have. To enjoy the seesaw, you must have up and down. Can you enjoy the seesaw without, only up now, like a motor, you're not going down. So you must enjoy that, if there is a up and down. You'll enjoy that. No doubt, you're not going down at all. So you must have that down for enjoying the seesaw. So Allah Pak has created us, He made us. You go up and down, that's better for you. One day you'll be crying, right? Allah Pak, now everything is going away now. Other day you rejoice, Allah Pak, you brought me back again. Other day you cry again. Yeah. So this crying, cheering sometime and tearing sometime. Sometime is tearing and sometime is cheering. So both you need. You need cheering and you need tearing as well. You can't only have cheering, and you can't have only tearing. You can't have only weddings that you only cheer. You have to have mayyats also, right? So there's a balance then, right? Allah Pak tawfiq naseeb kare.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, we will discuss some of the adab of eating. That firstly, a person should ensure that he washes his hands before he eats, and then you should sit on the dastarkhan on the floor as far as possible, and then you should start off by taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah, wa Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah, and then you should eat with the right hand. Then when the time comes for dishing out the meals, then if they are elderly people or senior people, then allow them to dish out before the juniors and before the younger ones can dish out. Then when a person dishes out in the plate, then you should eat from that which is in front of you. Don't go to the middle of the plate and eat. And then if there are several dishes, one being a simple dish, one being something more exclusive, then take more of that which is simple and leave the more exclusive dish for the others, though you will take small portions of that which is more exclusive. Then if any morsel of food falls down, then don't feel disdained or humiliated to pick that morsel up and eat it, but rather pick it up. If there's any dirt on it, then dust it and eat that morsel. Then when sitting also, then a person should sit. The best way posture is to sit as how we sit in tashahud, or if that's not possible, a person should sit with one leg raised and one leg kept normal as you sit. Then if there is the food is not to one's satisfaction, then one should not pick out the faults of the food, but he should rather just excuse himself and not partake of the meal. Then once you are complete and over with the food, then clean the utensil and the plate. Don't leave it with still some crumbs or some bread over there, but rather clean the utensil and then lick your fingers upon the completion of the meal, and then recite the dua, the masnoon dua, that Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin, or the other masnoon du'as that appear in the books of du'as. Then a person after completion of the meal should wash his hands. If there is any smell on the hands, then one would then use soap or any other detergent to take out the smell. And you would also gargle your mouth. And you should try to also make miswak upon the after washing your hands, etc. And if a person forgets to recite Bismillah in the beginning of the meal, then whenever he remembers during the course of the meal, then you should recite Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu.